teaching series, and I've told you as we continue this You Matter series, we wanted to hear from your You Matter stories, your story. So I've got a story for you today. So Robin Volpicelli, she went in for surgery. When she went in for surgery, she asked the surgeon, hey, how could we serve you, right? Because that's what you do when you go into surgery, right? So she, right? Isn't this amazing? So her surgeon tells her, you know, the best way, one of the needs that we have at the hospital is actually for our NIC unit. And what we need is for these little, like, little beanies. I don't know what you call them. But these little things that you, like, put on the baby's head when they're, like, premature babies, right? So Robin goes back home, and she knits these things. And she turned, she went and gave him 80 of them. 80. And then in every one of these, she puts a You Matter card that will be handed to those patients who need one of these. Isn't that cool? What a great job. Give a shout out to Robin. That's amazing. And last Sunday, I connected her to somebody else who does knitting like this, and they're going to help her. Maybe you're interested in that. Just call the office, and the office can get you in touch with Robin, and you can be a part of this, about those people providing, just serving these babies in that way. Isn't that so cool? I love that. Well, we're going to jump right into our teaching today. Here we go. Here's what we're going to learn. We're going to learn that when we love God, we live a You Matter lifestyle. We're going to learn two things. When you love God, we live a You Matter lifestyle, that others are more important, that others have value. And then we're going to see this. When we live a You Matter lifestyle, it leads us to actually share our story. And today, we're just going to give you a very simple framework so that you can share your story. Let's jump into the text. 1 John chapter 5. In 1 John chapter 5 in verse number 1. Again, remembering who the context here. This is the Apostle John, an eyewitness who lived with Jesus, witnessed all that had happened to Jesus. The death, the burial, the resurrection. And when I say resurrection, I mean he talked to Jesus. He had breakfast with Jesus. He interacted with the resurrected person of Jesus. And what John is doing, he's writing this letter to these churches that are spread throughout Asia, and he's trying to help them to get back on track. Why? Because some false doctrine has leaked in. Because it's been a period of time now, and you know what happens, we tend to get off track. So he's trying to get them back on track. And in this false doctrine, part of the false doctrine is that Jesus really wasn't like the real Son of God. He was like a prophet, right? And so he's trying to help them to understand, no, Jesus is actually the Son of God. I'm an eyewitness. I witnessed all this. Here's another important fact to think about when you read what John writes, that John, he just didn't like make this up, that he actually witnessed it, so much so that when it came to the point of, hey, recant or die, he was willing to die for this. And, we don't know exactly, the scriptures don't tell us, John doesn't tell us how he dies. Why? Because he died, right? So he can't tell us how he died because he didn't. But he died. History tells us one or two things have happened. Some think, history tells us that he was threatened in Ephesus, and that he was going to be put in a boiling pot of oil, and that somehow miraculously he escaped that. And when he escaped that, then he got exiled into Patmos, an island where it was like a prisoner's island, if you will. And that is where he wrote Revelation. Others think that when he was there on the island, he actually just got let go because he was so old, and then he just died of old age. We're not for sure, but here's what we do know, that he believed this so vehemently and so confidently that he was not going to recant, because he was an eyewitness. An eyewitness has weight. And here's what he says about Jesus. He tells us that everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. Now, I just could not go past everyone who believes. Because again, just this simple reminder, it does not matter your past. It does not matter, you know, what has happened in your past. The call is to everyone. This isn't to a select few. This is everyone who believes, everyone who puts their faith, everyone who has faith in. That's what this word believes can be translated in three different ways. Faith is one of them. Everyone who puts their faith in who? Jesus. Everyone who trusts in Jesus. Everyone who believes in Jesus, that's the person who has become a child of God. Do you believe? Do you believe in the person of Jesus and that he really is the Son of God? Because if you do, then that makes you a child of God. And then he says, here's a mark. Here's how we can tell. Here's living proof. Here's living proof that you are a child of God. Everyone who says they love God, or everyone who loves God, loves God's kids too. Do you people sitting over here love those people sitting over here? You say, no, that's why I'm sitting over here. Lincoln, do you love those people in South County? Really? Right? Do you love God's people? That's a mark of a Christ follower. And if all you do is want to argue and point out and criticize and belittle, John's saying, I don't know if you're a child of God. Because he says if you love God, you're going to love his people too. And we know, he goes on, John goes on, we know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commandments. It's not enough to say, oh, I love God. Yes, I do. I love God. How about you? It's not enough. You see, your belief actually leads you to obey. Do you obey? Another proof that you are a child of God is obey. Obedience. Does your life mark obedience to Jesus? Jesus has a very specific way that he calls Christ followers to live. Are you living the way of Christ? Are you obeying what Jesus says? Now, look, John takes it, he just keeps on going deeper with this. Loving God means keeping his commandments. Now, when we first read that, we're like, oh my goodness, there's, you know, 10 commandments, and then the Pharisees, they created another 530 some commandments. It's like, oh my gosh. But notice what John says, right? Look what he says. But his commandments, Jesus' commandments, they're not burdensome. They're not this heavy weight. Because it's not about legalism. It's not about making sure that you've got all the boxes checked. Like the Pharisees were trying to live out. And that's why they created, because they didn't think God's 10 was enough. They created 536, I think it is, more. Remember what Jesus said when he was challenged? Which one is the greatest commandment? Do you remember? It was what? Love God, and then what? Love God and love people. That's why obeying God's commandments aren't this heavy weight that's put upon you. Because it's pretty simple. Jesus narrowed it down. Hey, listen, just love Jesus, love God, and just love people. And when you love people, you know what? You're not going to lie about them. When you love people, you're not going to covet. When you love people, you're not going to steal. When you love people, you're not going to kill. You know, and you can just walk right through every one of those Ten Commandments. When you love God, you are going to live a certain way and you are going to love other people. That's why we don't need 536 commandments. Because it's not burdensome. We get to love God and we get to love people and we get to serve them. So he says, for every child of God defeats this evil world. You know and I know that this culture that we live in, the world that we live in, we have this pull towards it, right? Because it's in us. That's our old man, our old nature. It gets pulled back into living like this world calls us to live. That's all about us. Someone recently came into my office and on my door, and some of you remember this from, I don't know, at least 18 years ago. On my door is this little decal and it has the word me on it with a line through it. Right? Some of you remember that. You still have yours. I have mine right on my door. And he was like, what's that about? What's that mean? Right? It's not about me. It's about others. It's about serving others. It's about loving other people. It's about loving God and loving other people. How do we break through that? Well, you've got to become a child of God. We have victory through our faith. See, Jesus gives us the power through his Holy Spirit to live differently, to live a life that's not about me. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Only those who believe. And again, this isn't just information. This isn't just a knowledge. In fact, here's the way I put it. A belief is not just knowledge or information, but it's the type of believing that changes the way that you live. If you're married, you know what you did at the altar. You made a commitment, until death do you part, to your spouse. And when you did that, it changed the way that you showed back up into your workspace. It changed the way that you viewed other people. It was like, it was something that I usually incorporate in my ceremonies, is that something like this, if I can remember this, but it's you that they have showed their love for you by turning from all others into you only. And that is what... This is what you are doing. You're living differently because you made that commitment to your spouse. You choose to live differently. You're not open. You know, your interactions, you're not going to have that emotional intimacy with the other, that coworker. Why? Because you reserve that for your spouse. You're going to make sure that you put up boundaries for yourself. To make sure that you do this, and that's not a heavy weight. It's not burdensome. You do this because you get to, because you chose to love your spouse. And the same thing is true with God. You choose to love God. He gives you this Holy Spirit, gives you the ability to see, to recognize it, and then you yield to it. You surrender to it. And when we love God, this is why we're saying, when we love God, you live from that you matter lifestyle. You live from this other place of loving God and loving other people, this posture that you take on. But secondly, here's what we're going to see. When we live a you matter lifestyle, it leads us to share our story. Now, do you think about your story? And are you prepared to share your story? Are you ready? You know, as you serve other people, as you let them know that they matter, you know, part of living that is being ready to share your story. We want to give you a framework that, in this framework, that you can share your story, and you can do this in like 3 minutes, or you could take 30 minutes if you want to do it longer. This is just a framework that we're going to show you. But first, I want you to see what John says. John comes back and he points back to God. And he says that when Jesus Christ was revealed as God's son by his baptism. Don't forget, he's arguing this doctrine that is creeping into the church that Jesus really isn't the Christ, and the Christ meaning the Messiah, the Anointed One. So John is saying that he was, that Jesus it really is the Messiah, and that he was revealed as God's Son by his baptism in water. And remember what happened on his baptism? It was on that baptism that those around heard that voice, and John was there, and he wrote those words, that this is my Son in whom I am well pleased, right? So God revealed who Jesus was, and by the shedding of his blood on the cross. By the shedding of the blood on his cross, in the death, in the burial, but it's the resurrection, that Jesus actually died, that he spilled his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. And not by water only, but by water and blood. And the Spirit, who is trustworthy, confirms it with his testimony. His testimony is, again, just that story. So we have a story. John goes on, though, and says, we have these three witnesses. We have the Spirit, who confirms that Jesus is who he says he is. We have the water, the baptism of Jesus. And again, John is writing about something that he saw and witnessed. And then the blood, meaning the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. And again, John is writing as an eyewitness. And he says, all three of these agree. And again, and in their culture, you know, you needed to have another witness. Well, he's saying, we have three witnesses that confirm this testimony, that this story is true. And since we believe human testimony, surely we can believe this greater testimony that comes from God. And God has testified about his Son. So when we look at the second part of this, when you live a You Matter lifestyle, it leads us to share our story. Here's a simple way. This is just a simple way to think through your story. All right. And you're going to be like, Rick, that's too simple. I'm telling you, it works. It works because you can think of this in your mind and be ready at a moment's notice to share. The first one is before. Before what? My life before I had that encounter with Jesus, and describe that. And so many times when I find myself in this situation, I'm sitting at the bar and engaging in conversation with people, because that's what people do. They sit at the bar and most people want to talk. They're usually looking for somebody, because I'm usually engaging the guys, and they're usually looking for a girl to engage, but I engage them anyway. So anyway, I'm talking to them, and I'll be able to share my story. And what I'll say is, when we get to this, the right time, I'll talk about, oh my gosh, there was a time in my life when I was carrying the weight of poor decisions in my life. There was a time in my life when I was carrying the weight of shame and guilt, and I had no idea what to do with it. And on the inside, it was tearing me up. It messed with me. And I would continue to make bad decisions because of that. But you know what? Then one day, I heard about Jesus. And when I heard about Jesus, and the reason that he came was so that I didn't have to carry the shame and the guilt. The reason he came was so that he paid for my shame. He actually surrendered his life. He laid down his life for me so that I wouldn't have to feel that weight anymore, as long as I would put my faith and my trust in him. And when that happened, there was like this defining moment in my life, and my life changed. Man, when I walked away from that encounter with God, my life was different. I made different choices and different decisions, but I wasn't weighed down anymore. And other people saw it. They started asking. They started inquiring about, what's this change, man? Something's happened in you. You're different. You see how simple that was? You can do that. all you're doing is before, you're sharing how, the process, and then after. So if you just remember those three words, before, the process or the how, and then after. How has my life actually changed after? This is just a very simple framework for you to use in sharing your story. This morning, I want you to hear from a story from somebody who is here. They've been coming here for a couple of years, and they have been growing in their faith and their understanding of what it means to actually follow Jesus. Listen to Corey. Corey shares his story. His story is so huge. We could not fit everything in, but the best way to summarize this is that he is like a middle-aged guy who had a full career in the military, and then now he's got moved on to this second career. It's just really cool. So here, take a listen in to Corey.
Hi, everybody. My name is Corey Lamorandi, and I was asked by Pastor Rick to share a story with you for the series of You Matter that I shared with him about a month ago. So this is my story. And to frame it a little bit, the center of my message really is about my coming to Christ, my particular journey, and that defining moment that really set me on this new warpath that I'm in right now. So I'll give you a little background. Most of my life, in my young days, as early as I can remember, and even into my early adulthood, I've always felt this presence, this gravitational pull of energy around me. Very positive, loving, very defensive, almost like I had someone on overwatch over me most of my life. So for me, I'll fast forward with this, feeling this my whole life and keeping that in the background of my story. COVID happens, and with everything on my mind, I didn't realize that I was falling into a depression until it was right on me. It really was, and the weight on my shoulders just really crushed me. So I'm feeling it now, and which is good because I really want you to get this point across that with all the weight on me and how I pushed myself away from everything I knew to be true. And I started getting involved in things that weren't good for my mind. I'd stay up late at night. I'd stop going to the gym. I wasn't eating right. I would use more alcohol than I should have in any given moment. And I had a lot of distraction. And this went on for quite some time, really. And if you can imagine, doing the wrong thing for a long period of time makes it harder to get out. Until one day, I woke up and I didn't feel the same. I just was extremely different. I oscillated to the other side of my emotions and I felt calm. But also in that, I found myself to have the will and really the desire to make a change. Specifically, with spending time with my wife and letting her know that she mattered, and spending time with my children, and just really reconnecting with everything in my life. I didn't know then that I am convinced of now that Christ was really preparing me for something that I needed to go through. And it was going to take me surrendering to him. I didn't realize it then, but the good part of the story is coming, and I did. So about 3 months go by when I'm on that X and Y axis, remember, sprinting up on a new warpath for life, a new joy. And December 1st happens, and I get some information that was really devastating, really tough. And I find myself really kind of going back to where I was 3 months earlier. And I can see the negative impact that's taken on my life within 2 weeks. And the emotions that would hit me were just too much. I just couldn't handle it. And I was at the tip of this iceberg, and I was either going to implode or I was going to endure. And the next action I'm going to explain to you, was not something I did consciously. It just happened. I removed all of my clothing, with the exception of my boxer briefs and my cross. And I held my cross in my right hand, and I faced the front of my house where I had this big picture window up about 10 or 15 feet up in the air. And I dropped to my knees, and I looked out the window, and I started to pray. And I get it. This sounds very much like a movie. And it's very much not. This really happened to me, and I wasn't really making a conscious choice, and then I was. It was amazing how it happened. It just hit me. And I prayed, but I prayed differently that day. December 1st, 2021, when I prayed, it hit me much differently. And it was like I was actually not just talking to someone one way, but they were talking back to me. And I could feel the energy. Now, this energy that I started my story with earlier, this gravitational pull, now made sense to me, and it was surrounding me. I didn't quite have my finger on it at that point until I stopped praying. I was crying and emotional. And one of the things I asked for in that, it's important to tell you this, that I asked for the information that I had. I really, really just wanted to be okay. Not okay as in I need to get better, which is the way I prayed before. You know, please just give me this. Please just let this happen and I'll be a good Christian. Please look. It was different. I just asked. I gave my complete self to Christ in that moment and said whatever needed to happen. I just wanted to be okay with the outcome and to not leave me. And I had never prayed. I'd never prayed like that before. And it felt different. It really did. It felt different. And one of the things I asked for was I needed to speak to someone specific. And I needed some information. I wanted to talk about someone specific. Never in my wildest dreams would I think that this would happen. And less than 2 minutes later, my phone rang. When I looked down, it was that person. The information I got was twice as bad as the information I got on December 1st. Remember, that put me back into this slump. But what happened in that moment, right then and there, as quick as putting on a light, that pull that I had all along, that energy I felt around me, that comfort that I knew was there, I never could put my finger on, finally made sense to me in a flash. And I felt like someone put me in a snow globe, like they just surrounded me. And the emotions that you would think I should have felt, I should have went, remember, implode or endure. I should have imploded in that moment. And in fact, I endured. I didn't feel any negative emotion. Instead, I felt love and I felt empathy and I felt okay. I really did. And all these emotions, they were like very specific to me, very vivid, like I was talking to individual people. And I can still feel what that felt like in that moment. And when I hung up the phone, I should have fell to my knees again. But instead, I had Christ was in my life in that moment for those 2 minutes that I just gave myself to him. And I didn't fall to my knees. In fact, I was steadfast. I felt joy and I felt like I was going to be okay. And I never took a step back into that. Now that was mid-December 2021. Here we are sometime later, and still I'm on the same war path. I still feel amazing, and I don't think I've ever been this happy in my entire life. So if there's nothing that you get from this story that I share with you now, remember this. This series of You Matter, it really does matter, and your story matters, and it matters more when you share it. So you should find someone out there and practice saying it with them, and if you can't find anyone, I'm here most Sundays, and if you find me, I'd like to hear it. So thank you very much.
So that's Corey's story. Now, for some of you who are newer to church world, and maybe you're like investigating your faith, you heard him use this word energy. And I want you to know that Corey totally understands. That was the best word that he knew how to describe it when he was going through that. But he. After we finished filming this, I asked him about that, and without hesitation, he says, "Oh well, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, because that's what that was." And maybe that those words of energy connected with you because that's like you're still trying to figure out faith. You're trying, you know, to understand this faith journey. Well, that energy, that's the Holy Spirit knocking at your door. That gravitational pull, that's God trying to give you the eyes to see and the ears to hear, and you need to respond. Because there'll be one day when you're going to stop feeling that. And if you stop feeling, if you don't surrender, that call may stop one day. And that's when the scriptures talk about a callous and a hardened heart. And you won't hear that call anymore. The Spirit of God will stop knocking on your door. So don't get to that place. And I encourage you, maybe you just need to surrender now. I love that about Corey. So in Corey's story, you heard the before. You heard the how. Now, not everybody's going to have such a dramatic, you know, definitive moment in their life. We all have different experiences. For many people, it's a process that takes a long time. And for Corey, that, you know what, he's summarizing that definitive moment. That was a process over his, over the lifetime, his years. So God's doing something. And is he doing something in you? Would you, and you know what? Maybe it's going to take you sharing your story. That's why you've got to be able to articulate it. Can you articulate your story with a simple way? With the before, and here's how it happened. And here's how my life has changed, the afterwards. So take a look at your connection card, and it says, I will think through how to share my story and then pray for an opportunity to share it with at least one other person this week. Will you do that? I know that's a big move and that's a big ask, but will you do that? Will you take the time to actually think through your story and then turn to somebody and share with them? Doing the before and the how and the how my life has changed afterwards. We'd love to hear about that. If it's easier for you to use your phone and just text instead of using, or if you haven't downloaded the app yet, right, just text us. If you're online and watching at home, I know it's easier for you to pull out your phone and text the word pray to 401-496-9710. We encourage you to do that and let us know how we can pray for you. But maybe you're here today and you are in that place. You would say, today I realize that I don't have a story of how Jesus changed my life because He hasn't changed it yet. You haven't had that tipping point yet. And you would like to invite Jesus into your life as Savior. Today could be your day. Today could be your day. And today could be that defining moment. And you could say, man, it was Memorial Day weekend. It was like none other. I came to church carrying the weight, but I left with it gone because I surrendered everything. If that's where you're at, man, we would love to know that. Indicated on the connection card, we'd love to reach out to you. Again, if it's easier for you to text, then text the word trust to 401-496-9710. All right, I want to pray for us. I'm going to pray that the Spirit of God will move. So Jesus, only your Holy Spirit can bring about any change in any of our lives. And God, I'm praying that it's going to challenge every Christ follower that's in this room. Holy Spirit, challenge each one of us, not just to live from the You Matter lifestyle, but to actually share our story with others and to demonstrate it. And Jesus, help us as we zero in on one person this week that we can share that story. Give us the boldness and the courage and the confidence. And Father, I'm praying for that one that feels that energy that Corey talked about. Holy Spirit, we know that that is you. Holy Spirit, we're praying that you would give them the eyes to see and the ears to respond, and may they surrender like Corey did. Please come and do what only you can do. We pray this, Jesus, in your name.